bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to come into thy house to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this wonderful weather that we're having. We thank you for the prayers being answered, Lord, so many. We thank you for this past year. We thank you for the year coming up, Lord. We pray, Father, that our hearts would truly be in one accord with thee, with thy word, that we'd be sensitive to thy presence, O God, and to thy will. And Father, we just pray that as we would approach this coming year, we ask you, Father, to help us to step aside from our own desires and help us to walk in line with thee, getting ready for the rapture. Now we just commit this sermon this morning into thy keeping, knowing that we've been studying these great words from your prophet, William Branham, concerning the spoken word as the original seed, and we ask that you would help and guide us as we would further continue in our study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to continue at paragraph 113, which is in your books there. It's 230. Where Brother Branham said, if the truth of even marriage and divorce was only brought out in its light, that is here in the Bible, it would break up every church in this city, any other city. Try to get back to it. They're both sides are wrong. I can prove it by the word. They're both wrong. All right, whether a man should do this or do that, or whether a woman this or that, I'm not going to say it because I got enough confusion now amongst them, see. Jesus said, let them alone, the blind leads the blind. Why? Well, they'd all just fuss about it. They wouldn't believe it. If they was born to eternal life, they'd believe the word. See? That's right. If they don't, well, God will manifest himself to them. And if they don't believe it, why, they don't believe it. That's all. And now, what I'd like to do this morning is kind of deviate from the message itself because he's been preaching on the spoken word's original seed. And actually what he did was he threw out this bone, and it happened to be on marriage and divorce. And he's just saying, look, this is a very difficult subject to deal with, but the truth is the truth. And if the people believe it, they believe it. If they don't, they don't. But he really hasn't deviated from the sermon, but he threw out this quagmire of a doctrinal issue that many people have a hard time with. What I'd like to do this morning is just look at one little facet of marriage and divorce for the next few minutes. And I know that we took this in quite detail about a year ago, but the question came up from Africa just recently, so I'd like to deal with this matter again. Now, Brother Branham is telling us here that there are two sides to the issue. One says that it's all right to divorce and remarry, and the other says not so under any conditions. Now, the one says, well, there are conditions to marry and divorce, and the other says, no, there's no conditions to marry and divorce. That's the two sides in the debate. But he tells us that there's a middle of the road in that debate, and that middle of the road would have, he would have a great effect to almost every church. That's what he's saying. So the question then is, what is the middle of the road? And as I said, I received an email last week from Africa concerning the issue of marriage and divorce, and it had to do with a quote from Brother Branham in the 1960s where Brother Branham made reference to a certain situation about a certain woman. Now, what he said in that sermon is not the same as what he said in Marriage and Divorce, which he preached 4 years later. And so I would like to, just to say is that what Brother Branham taught before the seals were opened versus what he taught after the seals were opened, if he changed what he taught, then we must receive what he taught last. And not to say that he was all over the map. I don't believe he was for 1 minute. But before the seals were opened in 1960, I think it was, or 61, Brother Branham made a comment about a woman he had visited in a hospital. She's a very beautiful woman, and she was in an insane institution. And she had lived as a prostitute. And he said, well, you know, God can clean her up, and, you know, he's restored her mind, and she'd make a nice little preacher's wife. And there happened to be a young man overseas who is studying for the ministry, you know, as far as he's under the tutelage of one of the senior pastors over there. And, you know, he feels called to the ministry, but yet he wants to marry a girl who's who's not a virgin. And so in marriage and divorce, Brother Branham said she must be. And before that, the quote he has is from 61. And so the question then is, Brother Branham was talking about, if I got to the truth of this, and this is 62, which is after he preached that quote. He said, if I got to the truth of this, he said it would probably split every church. And so it's a very, very touchy subject. But I would like to say that what Brother Branham taught, especially after the seals, are the corrections to some of the things that were taught before the seals. Now, not to say the doctrine itself was wrong, like when he preached on body, soul, and spirit. Before the seals, he preached body, soul, body. You know, the outer ring was the body, the next ring was the soul, then the final ring was the spirit. And after the seals were opened, he corrected that and said the soul, put the soul on the inside, then the next is the spirit, and the next is the body. Which, to me, it doesn't really make any difference, because you're not really dealing with rings. You know, we're not made up of three rings. We're made up of a body, soul, and spirit. So the doctrine itself was correct. It's just the way that he illustrated it. And sometimes in illustrations, you know, you can take those and try to run with those. But in fact, when he worked on the Church Age book with Brother Vail, there were several doctrinal issues that came up. And that book was used by Brother Branham to nail down the loose ends concerning his own ministry and the doctrine that he taught. And so that's why we had our dissertation, if you want to call it that, on the Church Age book a year ago, a little bit, maybe 15 months ago, September of last year, because there's people out there who believe that the Church Age book is not right, that it was Brother Vail's book. But we're not going to regurgitate that issue this morning. And I don't wish to spend a lot of detail study on what we did a year ago. So what I'd like to do this morning concerning marriage and divorce is that if we would just read our Bibles and believe what we read in them, the answer is just very plain. So the two schools of thought are that one believes that divorce is permissible, the other that it is not permissible under any circumstances. And the truth of the matter is that there is one word that Jesus used to tell the whole story and makes plain the answer. But we find that this subject is so important that three of the gospel writers made mention of it in their writings. So let's go to the scriptures this morning. We'll take them chronologically as they were given in the scripture. And we'll begin at Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. Matthew 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. Now the word tempting was translated from the Greek word pirazo, which means to put to the test or put on trial to see where he stands on this very difficult issue. Because it was an issue that was dividing the church even back then. And so they thought, well, if we can get him to commit to one of the two sides, because that's what they thought. They thought there's only two sides. There's you can do it, you can't do it. You can do it, you can't do it. And if he says either one of them, half the people are not going to want to follow him anymore. You see? It was a divisive issue, and they wanted to put him on the spot. And they saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? You see, for Jesus to answer this question, put Jesus on the spot with the people, because to tell it right, it will hurt the feelings of many. And since there are two main thoughts concerning marriage and divorce, they were trying to split his following in half, because they thought that he would have to take one side or the other. But there is one word that Jesus used that clarifies the whole thing. Verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? In other words, what does God say about it? What did God do about it? Let's go back to the beginning. I want you to notice how Jesus brings them right back to the beginning, and that is the one word that is so important in understanding this issue. Because the question is that Moses permitted divorce, and yet Jesus says, if you are to answer this correctly, let's go back to the establishment of marriage. Let's go back to the beginning and look at the purpose for marriage. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. Again, Jesus going back to the beginning, twice now. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. Now, why would he say there's an exception? I want you to hold this in your thinking, because we're not going to get to it right now, but we're going to get to it toward the end. But there's one exception that has to deal with fornication, that a man could put her away. Now let's read from Mark chapter 10. The same story. And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the further side of Jordan. And the people resorted unto him, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And Jesus answering said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But, and but means that there's, hey, you know, the word but, we use that quite often, but well, I'll just say it again. it's hard to get away from it. The word but really means I'm going to say something that you have to understand in order for you to understand this. All right? You know, we say something and we say, but this and this and this. Okay? We're giving a clarification. So the word but, you should give us a clarification. And it says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house his disciples asked him again of the same matter. In other words, we want clarification on what you just said. And he said unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her, and if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now here's where the two sides develop. Since Jesus says God permitted Moses to give them a writ of divorcement because of the hardness of their hearts, but from the beginning it was not so. And this is the key to understanding marriage and divorce. What was it established to be at the beginning? Because God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he gave one man with one woman. But notice, Eve broke that covenant. And that is why Moses, because of the hardness of the people's heart, he allowed divorce, as Jesus said. In marriage and divorce, Brother Bram said, now, it may be a little lengthy. I don't want you to be in any hurry. And just take your time, all of us, and study the Word of God truly and thoroughly as we know how to study it. Let's begin with St. Matthew, the 19th chapter, and beginning, I think, with the 8th verse of the 19th chapter I wish to start. I might start also with the 1st and read down through the 8th of the 19th chapter. Now remember, these things that I say must come from the Word of God. It can't be my own opinion. Because my opinion is just like anybody else's, but it's got to be in continuity with the Word of God. Remember, God keeps everything in continuity. He never changes. I'd like to add that man changes, but God doesn't change. So how did God establish it at the beginning? That is our key to understanding the correctness of marriage and divorce. And Brother Bram continues, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? He's the same. Now I shall read from the 19th chapter, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying, and I pause there so that you can get the emphasis on who it was that was tempting him, saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Therefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And they said unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffer you to put your wives away. But from the beginning, it was not so. Now remember, Brother Branham is talking about continuity. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's go back to the beginning. And then he reads what Jesus says. He said, yeah, that did happen. But from the beginning, it wasn't so. Now, in the Sermon on Marriage and Divorce, Brother Branham keeps coming back to the main theme that we must go back to in order to understand the subject correctly. I think there's at least a dozen times during that sermon, Brother Branham goes back to the beginning. He says, we've got to go back to the beginning. In paragraph 31 of Marriage and Divorce, Brother Branham said, Jesus, in our text, invites us to go back to the beginning for the true scriptural answer. There it is right there. Now, when he was confronted with this, there was two things in view. The priest said to him, Can a man put away his wife, marry another for any cause? And Jesus said, It wasn't so from the beginning. You see how Brother Branham takes it right back to the beginning, as Jesus did. Then they said, Moses suffered us a writing of divorcement and to put her away for anything they wanted to. He said that Moses did that because I'm letting that string on a while, because of the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning, or at the beginning, it wasn't so. And again, in paragraph 59 of Marriage and Divorce, he says, From the beginning, Jesus said, See, we see it was so now, and from the beginning, and what he's talking about. And from paragraph 63, he says, Jesus told us to go back to the beginning to find it. That's what we're doing. Now, I've had to hit a high point, hit the high points on a lot of this, and I hope you understand it. And people who will be listening to this tape, I hope you understand, just go back. It's only to show you that that Jesus said, go back from the beginning and find out all things go back to the beginning. That's where I want us to think. All things go back to the beginning. So we have to, in understanding who we are, have to go back to the beginning as well. Ephesians 1. Where were we before the beginning? Were we in Christ? Were we not in Christ? Because if you weren't in Christ, you're no part of Him. You see, it's not a matter, and you're making the rapture is not going to be a matter of how perfect you can live in this life. Many came to Him and said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not cast out devils in Thy name? Have we not done this in Thy name and done that in Thy name? And He said, Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Let's go back to the beginning. You weren't in me before the foundations of the world. Depart from me. I don't care what you've done. That's why we read last week. Paul said it. Brother Branham said it. That the Jew is not a Jew outwardly, he's a Jew inwardly. It doesn't matter if you have direct lineage physically to Abraham, you could still be lost. Ishmael, all the Arabs have direct lineage back to Abraham. Maybe not all the Arabs, but quite a few of them. Esau had direct lineage back to Abraham, and he was lost. God hated him. The royal seed of Abraham is not a physical lineage. It's a spiritual faith seed. And that's the question. It all goes back to the beginning. That's why he inserted this. Not just to drive, you know, to change the issue, to jump off into marriage and divorce and confuse the people. He's talking about the beginning, the original seed. Hallelujah. Amen. So perfect. Paragraph 64. So see, he knows the original creation from the beginning. He said, from the beginning, they were prophets who came to the Word. Or that the Word came to. From the beginning, he says. Paragraph 65. Brother Branham says, Now after the original beginning is over, Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning. That's when time began. when God made it first in His original creation. All that understands, say amen. Congregation says amen. In the beginning, God created just one male and one female. But then the woman was made different from the animals, all other animals, for deception. Now watch. Now it wasn't so from the beginning. And for marriage and divorce, paragraph 68, he said two covenants now. Now that closes the beginning of what Jesus said. It wasn't so at the beginning. We've got another covenant now. Notice it's another covenant. Now there's a covenant for the product and the byproduct. Notice the fall brought trouble, death to every creation of the creature of the creation, making a difference in all nature. Now let us notice what Jesus said about. From the beginning, it wasn't so. Now it is not so from. Now it is after the beginning. Now there's a double covenant. In the beginning, God made one to one. Afterwards, God permitted the divorce. For marriage and divorce, paragraph 76, Brother Branham said, note, let's read this here. I want to get this to you. Matthew 5. Jesus spoke here of something that's really of vital importance. We want to see it. Matthew 5. I marked out some of the things that I was going to say just to the men, so I had quite a little time saying it just before our sisters, but I want to go out here now, sister, I want to put you into the place where God's Word promised you. And you see then that you stay in that place too. Matthew 5:32. I want you to notice here to support the same idea of one many. Matthew 30, I think it's Matthew 5:32-31 to begin with. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now Jesus speaking, the one said, from the beginning. Now watch. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. See, whosoever shall put away his wife, saving the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. See, why? Because she'll marry again. And whosoever marries her that's divorced commits adultery. Now, there's an understanding that we have to have here in order to understand what he's saying. Brother Brown said, why, if the woman's put away and she marries again, it causes her to commit adultery, except for one reason, fornication. Fornication. So we must understand, what is fornication? Hold that in your thinking, because we're going to come back to that. From paragraph 78. Now the Word of God runs true with nature of God, runs in continuity. See how there is one school went east and the other school went west on it. You got to come back to the truth to find out what it is. It's always been that way. That's the regular covenant with God from the beginning. First, before the beginning, from the beginning, there's just one and one. And from paragraph 103 of Marriage and Divorce, he says, and in 1 Corinthians the 7th chapter, the 12th and 15th verse in the New Testament, Prophet Paul, who met the same thing in the church and spoke this, this is I, not the Lord. Is that right? Because the divorce condition. It wasn't so from the beginning, but Moses was permitted it, and God recognized it, righteousness. And Paul also had a right when he found his church in that condition. Now, you believe this to be true and believe it to come from God, and by the vindication of His cloud and His message that brought me this far, should not God upon the mountain permit me to do the same thing, to suffer you to go on the way that you are and do it no more? Go with your wife and live in peace, for the hour is late. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We haven't got time to break these things up. Don't you dare try to do it again. I'm speaking only to my congregation. If you are married, and God bore me witness to that on the mountain, that I could say this, a supernatural revelation because of the opening of the seals, and this is a question in God's Word, let them go in as they are and sin no more. And again, from paragraph 104, Marriage and Divorce said, it wasn't so from the beginning. Is that right? It wasn't so, and it will not be at the end. But under modern conditions, as God's servant, I won't call myself His prophet, but I believe that if I wouldn't be sent for that, I'm laying a ground for Him when He does come. So under the modern conditions, I command you to go to your home with your wife now. If you are happy with her, live with her, raise your children in the admonition of God. But God be merciful to you if you ever do that again. You teach your children to never do a thing like that. Bring them up in the admonition of God. And now that you are as you are, let us go now to late evening hour that we're living in and press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, where all things will be made possible. Now, This is pretty plain here that whosoever leaves for another partner commits adultery, and that is why there are two schools there. Notice Jesus said, when they called him aside and they said, okay, you said this thing, but tell us. And he said, if a man leaves his wife, he causes her to commit adultery if she marries, and he commits adultery if he marries another. So, but that's what caused the divisions, the two sides. Now in Luke 5, verse 31, it reads this way. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you. Notice Jesus says that they say this, but I say this. So he's showing where he disagrees with what they say. And what did Jesus go on to say? He says that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Now in the book of Luke and in the book of Matthew, Jesus is quite specific here. And he says there's only one reason that a man could put away his wife and remarry, and that is the cause of fornication. That is the only reason. So then we must know what fornication is, because most people think adultery and fornication are the same thing. But they are not. They are the same act. But fornication is what you do before you have a spouse. And adultery is the same act with another person who is not your spouse. In other words, a single girl that does the act commits fornication. She cannot commit adultery. She's not committing adultery. She's single. Unless she's doing it with a man who's married. You see? Now, from his sermon, Why We Are Not a Denomination, Brother Branham said, here the other day, I'll stop on my subject just a minute, if it's possible. I was reading in a piece of scripture where that an illegitimate child will not enter the congregation of the Lord for 14 generations. Now, how many knows that? That's right, Deuteronomy 23, an illegitimate child. If a woman is caught in the field, that's away from the protection of man, and a man overcomes that woman, that man will have to marry her. He will have to marry her. And regardless if she becomes a prostitute, he has to live with her till he dies. So if a guy gets a girl pregnant, he's not married to her yet, but he unites himself together, joins himself to her, gets her pregnant, he's stuck. And it doesn't matter what kind of a girl she is. He's stuck. And regardless if she becomes a prostitute, he has to live with her till he dies. And if this woman marries him pretending that she is a virgin, and she isn't, then she can be killed for it. And if a man and a woman which are married, and they bring forth an illegitimate child, the congregation of the Lord, he'll not enter in for 14 generations or 40 years as a generation, be 400 years before the seed will ever gets out of Israel. What is an illegitimate child? It's not a child born out of wedlock. An illegitimate child, according to Brother Branham's words, is if you have a man and woman over here that are married, a man and woman over here are married, and the man from here gets together with the woman from here, they're both married, and they commit adultery and have an illegitimate child as a result. That's illegitimate. Now, a girl that gets pregnant outside of wedlock, that's not an illegitimate child. That's a child born out of wedlock. You understand the difference? If you don't, raise your hand. I'll explain it in other words. Okay. If a man and woman are married, here and here, you have two couples, and this man joins himself with the woman from this couple, that is adultery, and the child is illegitimate if she gets pregnant. However, this couple over here, before they meet, they get together, they have a child out of wedlock, that's not an illegitimate child. It's a child out of wedlock. You understand? There is a difference. Okay. Now, from questions and answers, conduct, order, and doctrine, Brother Bram said, now, we've got one more, and then that's all. Let's see, 91. Brother Bill, what is the difference between fornication and adultery? Matthew 19 and 9. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and 9, whosoever putteth away his wife and marries another, except it be for the cause of fornication, commits adultery. The difference between fornication and adultery, the word could be applied here either way. But to make it clear what he was talking of there, A woman that's unmarried cannot commit adultery because she has no husband to commit adultery against. It's uncleanness for her. She has to confess that to her husband before they are married, and if she did that. If not, and her husband finds it out later, he has a right to put her away because she took a false vow. In other words, she lied to him in order to get him to marry her. Now, that goes back to the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the beginning of the marriage starts with the vow. And if the beginning is wrong, it's wrong to begin with. That's why the man could put away the woman for uncleanness, which was fornication that came up. He found out that she wasn't a virgin. So he puts her away. She's free to remarry. It's not adultery for her. She's free to remarry because they weren't married legitimately in God's eyes to begin with. And he's free to remarry. Because she wasn't married to the man. It was done falsely. That's why he says, and if she that's put away marries another, then it's adultery. You see? But not for him. Because she lied to him. She told him a lie, and no contract is ever honored if it is found to have been put together by fraud. No contract has to be honored if it was found that it was conceived in fraud. That's in any court, any land. All right? But to make it clear what he was talking of there, that a woman that's unmarried cannot commit adultery because she has no husband to commit adultery against. It's uncleanliness for her. She has to confess that to her husband before they are married. If she did that. If not, and her husband finds it out later, he has a right to put her away because she took a false vow. For the Bible said, be it well, or ritual says, be it well known to you, I have it in mind, if any couples are joined otherwise than God's word does allow, their marriage is not lawful. I will require and will charge you both, as you surely will answer at the day of judgment, when the secrets of hearts shall be disclosed. If either of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together, do you now confess it? There you are, see? So fornication is what a girl, when she lives unclean, that's fornication because she has no husband. But when she's married, and then when she lives like that, she commits adultery against her husband. So it should be very plain for us to see. And from his sermon, Invisible Union of the Bride, Brother Branham said, now, she has a sacred oath. One, I want to name three things here that she must not get away from. Now, I'm speaking, keep the church in mind while I'm speaking this to the natural woman. As Paul is here in the 6th chapter of Romans, she has a sacred trust or virtue committed to her by her Lord, a certain virtue. Nothing else holds it but a woman. That's right. That's committed to her by God. She must not defile that virtue. If she even does something wrong, she must confess that to her husband before he takes her and make it right. Just the same as the church that was married to the law has to come also before Christ, before the second marriage, she has to confess that. If she doesn't, and she lives with her husband for 10 years and then confesses it, he has a right to put her away and marry another woman. They could be married 10 years. Another place, he said, they could have a dozen children. And if he finds out that she wasn't virtuous when she told him she was, then they entered into that marriage, that union, unlawfully. And he has a right to put her away. That's the scripture. Fornication is unclean living. Joseph said, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He was minded to put her away privately, see, after he'd already engaged to her. When you are engaged to her, as far as God's concerned, you are married to her. Now, there was a minister down in Arkansas who, his wife wasn't keeping the house very clean. So he said, based on scripture, he had a right to put her away for uncleanness, unclean living. Brother Branham said, fornication is uncleanliness that the Bible speaks of. not because she didn't keep house real well. And so he took another wife. Had her for about 10 years. He had two of them, actually. He's a polygamist. Well, from questions and answers to conduct, order, and doctrine, Brother Branham said, a woman come not long ago, and she said, oh, I've confessed all of that. She was nervous and had a breakdown and said, I confess all that to God. And I said, you have to confess it to your husband. It wasn't God that you committed adultery against. It was your husband. That's right. And if a man marries a woman and she has lived unclean before she marries him, and then she comes to him, if they've been married ever so long, and then she comes to him and says, honey, I want to tell you something. I did run out with another man. I never told you about it. Jesus said he has the right to put her away and marry another because they're not married in the beginning, because she falsely told a lie against him. You see, if she had told a lie to him to get him to marry her, then they are not married in the beginning because the oath was based on fraud. And no contract that is based on fraud would be upheld in any court. So, what are we looking at here? We're not really dealing with marriage and divorce today. We're dealing with, in the beginning, it wasn't so. Let's go back to the beginning. If we are looking at the spoken word is the original seed, we're looking at the beginning. If we're looking at every seed after its kind, we're looking at coming into the image or being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. If we're talking about redemption in this hour, redeemed back to what? Back to the way God saw us in His mind before the foundations of the world. That's our goal. That's our desire because that's God's goal and that's His desire. And that's His great purpose that He purposed in us. Is to be conformed to His image. Because let's face it, Jesus came in the image of the Father, didn't He? And we're to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, aren't we? Then God wants us little chips off the old block, so to speak. And I say that reverently. He wants little Messiahs. Now Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? He said, but I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord who giveth me the victory. You're not going to do it in your flesh, although you can try, and you should try. But you should also be very careful to listen to the Holy Spirit who lays deep within your soul. And when He speaks, listen. Don't wait till you to get clobbered. Listen to that still voice. I'm learning. I haven't got there yet. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. But I'm learning, and we all need to learn. Every time that still voice speaks, listen and hearken. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word, for it is lovely. It is life. It is our all and all. We thank You for this little discussion this morning concerning the beginning. Not so much that Brother Branham was getting off track by talking on marriage and divorce. He was actually using an illustration of a doctrinal point that people have a lot of trouble with. But if they would just go back to the beginning, they wouldn't have the trouble with it. Just like fornication was before the actual marriage vow. So let's go back to the beginning of the marriage. If the marriage was right to begin with, that's what counts. And Lord, we just pray that You would help each and every one of us because our desire in our heart is to be like Thee. Our desire in our heart is to say like Jesus, not our will, but Thy will be done. And so we just commit our life to Thee. We thank You for the birth of Your Son. And we thank You for this day in Jesus Christ's name. Thank You, Father, for coming down in this hour. Bring forth a shout. And having that shout to get us ready for the going home. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed.
and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed.